The Guardian Glass manufacturing facility in Geneva, New York, produced more than 200,000 tons of float glass last year. The line runs almost constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And while it takes an enormous team of talented engineers, operators, and office staff working together to make it all happen, this story shows how individual contributions can also make a huge difference. Dean Stephanie has worked at the Geneva Guardian plant for more than 20 years, the last 12 of which as a console operator on the plant's coating line. That's the process where they put the specialized coatings on the glass to help with things like light and heat transmission.
One of the engineers we used to have said it reminded him of what you'd expect in a traffic control tower at the airfield as far as the number of things you're trying to monitor.
It's an intense job. You've got to have extreme focus and be able to problem solve in real time as the glass makes its way through the football field-sized machine that coats the glass. Dean and the team are pretty good at their jobs, but that doesn't mean they don't occasionally run into an issue or begin to see quality problems as the glass comes out of the coater. When that does happen, the glass has to be scrapped.
That's the thing about being upstairs, you're in the spotlight. We say upstairs, the console operator's room, the control room. You're in the spotlight, so when this glass is being rejected, everyone's looking at you going, what's wrong? What are you doing wrong?
A few years ago, the team recognized that it was having a recurring quality problem every time it transitioned from one specific coating recipe to another. Coater process engineer Nancy Bassett wasn't exactly sure what was happening, but she had a hypothesis.
When we move from one coating to that one, we shut off a lot of the targets, which cools them down. What happens is, because there's material on some of the shields inside the coater, when that cools off and glass goes under it, the coating kind of stress releases off of the shields and it falls onto the glass, and then it's coated over with subsequent layers in the coating, and it forms basically debris voids in the coating. This became a big problem right after startup. Each time we would lose a lot of glass to this debris.
It could take as long as 2 hours for the debris from the unused parts of the coater to stop flaking off and ruining the glass. That's 2 hours of near constant reminders of a problem. Because of this issue, this specific coating had some of the lowest yield numbers, or the amount of usable glass coming out the end of the process versus what was put in, of anything they did. And even though they had a pretty good idea of what was happening, unused chambers would cool, causing built-up material to flake off onto the glass, there wasn't an easy or obvious solution. As a console operator, though, Dean felt ownership over making sure they could produce the best glass as efficiently as possible. It pushed him to want to find a way to reduce the amount of glass wasted due to debris. He thought maybe if they could cool the unused chambers faster, they could reduce the amount of time it took for all the debris to fall off. But how? The whole coating process is done in basically a vacuum. There's essentially no air pressure and very little oxygen, so you can't blow on it or put a fan in there. That would cause all sorts of other problems. But Dean remembered another process he'd learned before. Sometimes, when there's a mechanical problem or issue, glass has to stop inside of the coater. If it sits in there for too long, heat can build up in it and the glass will warp. To cool the glass off and stop it from warping, they'll flow more argon gas, a basic and crucial part of the coating process already, into the chamber. Dean wondered if that could work here too. He took his idea to Nancy and Bryce Korsner, another one of the coating process managers.
So he brought that up as an idea and said, hey, this sounds like a pretty viable idea. It's not gonna hurt anything, so let's go ahead and give it a shot, see what happens. Let's track the results. You know, do we see better? Are we still losing glass? If so, how much? How long are we losing it for?
With the engineers on board and the idea approved, it was time to put it to the test.
The first time I had it in my mind.
That's Dean again.
That when we ran the 6 mil glass through, that they would come out a mess. There would be a ton of material on there and it would justify, validate my theory. And oh, this would be great. And the first time that we did it, as I said, Gabe Baker did it on D-Crew. I said, did you have a lot of material on the glass? And he said, no. And I said, oh geez. He goes, but we ran with a fraction of the loss.
Dean got the result he wanted, even if it didn't happen exactly how he thought it would. Nancy continued to run analysis and monitor for yield improvements. She found that the amount of loss due to debris decreased by about 0.75%. That might seem insignificant, but at this scale, even a small improvement can result in major gains.
Having even a 0.5% to 1% yield improvement on it saves us over 100,000 square feet of glass a year. We've been doing this for 2 years, so we're getting close to, you know, 250,000 square feet of glass saved by this small process.
This change has now become standard operating procedure. Dean says he's proud that his knowledge and experience contributed to improving the process. He says it's empowering to know that the engineers and supervisors are so open to receiving ideas from people, no matter where they work in the facility.
I think from my perspective, not being a chemical engineer, having anything to do with that, it allowed me to maybe look for a simple solution first, because that's all that was open to me.
Dean's background brought different knowledge to the table, a different way of looking at the problem. Exploring the hundreds of employees with relevant and practical knowledge can lead to discoveries and better results. Bryce says that starts by letting people know you'll support them and their ideas.
There's no harm in trying something, assuming you've vetted it out, you make sure you're not endangering the process or doing anything unsafe, you know, then sure, why not? It doesn't work? Okay, fine. I know one more way it doesn't work. It means as Edison said, I'm one more way to figure out the way it does.
Nancy says they've shared their results and process with other Guardian facilities. Now, it's time to move on to the next potential improvement.
You always want to be continuously improving your process, even if you have to rip it down and start over from scratch. You always want to be thinking about the next set of efficiencies. Okay, we conquered this one. What's our next biggest problem?
Dean's idea is estimated to save his facility about $65,000 a year. And it happened because he wanted to make a difference, wasn't afraid to share his ideas, and was part of a team that valued Dean's personal knowledge.